This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
Hi. If you've ever been talking to a parent and they answer a question like this, I don't know. Stop talking immediately. Go away. Leave them alone. They're juggling enough in their head right now. They don't have time for you and all of your questions. If you want to help, go occupy the children. And if you can't do that,
shut the f-
I'm just saying.
What is TWS Podcast, episode whatever, who cares at this point?
The Ransom, the Vindicated, it's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Red Dye. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS Podcast?
When ready.
I feel like Leander's staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
A junkie walking through the twilight.
I'm on my way home.
Left 3 days ago, but no one seems to know I'm gone. Home is where the hatred is. Home is filled with pain,
and it might not be such a bad idea if I never go home again. Alright, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS Podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. I can't even pronounce my own shit this week. Anyway, I want to thank you. Thank you for stopping by to spend some time with me. Listen to the things I have to say. Share a moment of your day. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I appreciate it. With that said, happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I feel like it's no better time than now with everything going on for us to remember all the things that he stood for. So I'm hoping on this day you get a chance to reflect, think about some stuff like that, you know, what we can do moving forward. I don't know why I picked the Gil Scott-Heron song to open up with. I don't know, for some reason it felt appropriate for this episode. I guess for me right now it has a couple ties in the everything is that's going on with me personally, and I guess everything I feel is going on the outside. The obvious tie, you know, is to my issues with substance abuse and recovery from addiction. That's pretty obvious. But then also, a while back, a really long time ago, actually 100 episodes ago, this is episode 185. It was episode 85 where I talked about a connection to this song. The episode is called Did I Marry a Psychopath? And I talk about an instance, you know, with my daughter's mom and her reaction, you know, to that very song. Let's actually play the clip.
So I'm going to do my best Gil Scott-Heron impression real quick. You know, so I'm in the house. I'm a junkie walking through the twilight. I'm on my way home. I left 3 days ago. And no one seems to know I'm gone. And as soon as I get to the I left 3 days ago and no one seems to know I'm gone, Hamps, my wife, starts laughing hysterically. Like, I mean, like, almost, She like, nobody cares about that nigga. What kind of psychopath did I marry, yo? Like, that is one of the, like, most depressing, like, you should feel that in your soul when you listen to Home Is Where the Hatred Is.
Gil Scott need love too.
Yeah, so that's the that's the clip from that discussion. And yeah, and actually I'm supposed to meet with her today to grab some coffee and try to talk some things out, figure out how we could better communicate for Elisa's sake. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. I guess also Home Is Where the Hatred Is, the title seem to be pretty spot on for our country's struggle right now. So maybe that's why it jumped out to me. And then last, and maybe most importantly, the whole stigma of a junkie, you know, the junkie walking through the twilight. There's some lines later on in the song after the part where my ex stops laughing, where he says, you know, like, kick it, quit it, kick it, quit it, but did you ever try? I'm going to stop singing. But I don't know, that, you know, that made me think of something that I wanted to expound upon in the last episode, but I really forgot about. I talked that whole section about, like, the stigma of mental health and me going back to see a doctor and getting back on my meds and stuff like that, and the stigma of meds. I wanted to double back on that real quick before we get into the stuff I really want to talk about this week. Because during that process, I came face to face with my own, like, my own issues in that arena. I was originally diagnosed with major depression and anxiety. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I was okay with that, you know. Sounded good. I had no problems talking to people about my diagnosis. But in this last visit, and I've said a lot this episode, but in this last visit, my doctor told me I was more on the bipolar spectrum, most likely bipolar 2, meaning that, you know, my normal is pretty low. So when I go through manic periods, I just get back to normal. And then my depressive periods are, you know, a whole nother topic. But in that moment, you know, for a minute, I had to check myself a little bit, because I found myself wanting to, like, fight the diagnosis. Like, I wasn't happy with the diagnosis. Like, nah, I'm not bipolar. Like for some reason I was okay with major depression. Like, nah, that's fine. I have no issue with that. I was okay with anxiety. But once I felt like I was being labeled bipolar, it's like I almost took offense, you know? And even with my strong feelings that I have about mental health, you know, and people being able to talk about those issues and us normalizing certain issues, so people don't hide those things and they seek the help that they need. I realized that even within that community, like, I was still, like, you know, creating subgenres and segregating folks and looking at within the mental health community that, like, there was a hierarchy. So I had to stop and question to myself, like, you know, why am I feeling ashamed to be bipolar? Like, I don't know. Every time I've thought of bipolar in the past, like, people throw that word around, like, that's them crazy motherfuckers over there, like, you know, or shorty bipolar. Like, you normally hear it about whatever woman you're in a relationship with that you're driving crazy. But anyway, that's another discussion. But yeah, these are the things I think about. Things I think we should think about, you know, no judgment, but whatever. All right, back to the fun stuff. Man, Chef Elise came over. And obviously, Rainbow Pasta is a big hit, man. It's been requested 3 weeks in a row. You know, she's wanted to make it. It's been her choice. Like, I've had other ideas for stuff I wanted us to do that week and been like, hey, what you want for dinner? You know, throwing things out there. And she's like, nah, Rainbow Pasta. I'm like, all right, bet. That's what we're doing. Rainbow Pasta. This week, we kept it to two colors, though. Red and green. Christmas colors, whatever. I know Christmas is long gone, but she's five. She can do what she want. So we did the red and green. We did mix blue and yellow. So blue and yellow mixed together did work to make the green. We ran out of green because somebody, and I ain't going to name names, used up all the green food coloring, you know, when Dad left her at the table trying to finish the rest of her meal. But whatever. We did the blue and yellow together. It made green. It turned out pretty good. So Rainbow Pasta will definitely make the food truck menu, so you'll be able to order it sometime in the distant future. I hope you like it bland, like super bland, like butter only. You know, that's the way she does her noodles. But again, that's the way she likes it, so that's what she gets, man. Also, this week, if you follow me on Instagram, I posted pictures. We built Fort Flan. So, you know, she's always, you know, like in the space, like trying to build a fort, and we're like putting chairs together and draping sheets over them. She likes to make what she calls cozy spaces. So I decided to buy one of these fort building kits so we could build a fort together. I thought, you know, that'd be a good activity for us to do together. I had all these ideas about, you know, talking about shapes and triangles being a strong shape. I I don't know. I was going to take it some places that maybe a 5-year-old wasn't ready for. But I don't know. I want to say this real quick, that people that make and design these children's toys, they deserve a special place in hell, because y'all put all that fun on the box, on the pictures on the box, but it don't be no fun in the box, man. I saw all them pictures online and on the box of kids like helping their parents and they building these structures and everybody smiling and whatever, and like, yay, you know, it's all fun and games, it's all dope. But I sat there, you know, trying to put these balls in the sticks. Like, it was crazy. Can't no 5-year-old do that. I'm 39 and I felt tested. Like, I felt like, am I going to, you know, there was moments where I'm like, man, can I do this? Like, it was getting, the balls had like 20 different holes on them and they like non-symmetrical and nothing was lining up. And yeah, man, it was a hell of a thing. But we made it through it. You know, when her mom came and picked her up, she was proud to show off Fort Flan, told her mother that we built it together. So I guess, you know, next week we're going to have to talk about lying. But last thing, the most ironic moment of our time together was when my daughter woke up at like 1 a.m. in the fort. We slept in the fort. Well, she slept in the fort. I couldn't do it. She slept in the fort, but she woke up at like 1 a.m. and she couldn't find one of her dolls. And, I guess the doll she wanted to sleep with. And for whatever reason, she named this doll Sunny Day. I don't know. I guess the doll's a hippie or something like that. I don't know. But I spent about 30 minutes in the middle of the night searching for a Sunny Day. Dad jokes. I'll be here all week. Anyway, man, before we get to the main topic, I saw this the other day and it sparked me thinking randomly about some stuff. This is how out of touch I am with what's going on in the world. I didn't know that vegan was more than food. Like, I thought, you know, vegan people just ate vegan or whatever. I don't know. I didn't know it was like a lifestyle that included more than food. But yeah, I saw a commercial the other day for a vegan mattress. And the tagline in the commercial, I can't remember the name of the maker of the mattress. This is bad advertising. So if you make this mattress, you need to work on your advertising, because y'all fucked up completely. Because I have no idea what the company is, but I remember your tagline, because it was sleep consciously. And let me tell you about the tagline. It's dumb shit like that, which is the reason that nobody likes vegans. Y'all need to stop. Sleep consciously. But all right, so to move on to something more conscious, more in line with the holiday. So this is my Martin Luther King topic. Now, this is a true story, because you can't make this stuff up. And my mama's going to hate me for this one. But I was talking to my mother the other night. And if you're not aware, my mother's a 72-year-old black woman, you know. And during the conversation, maybe after like the fifth time that she said, I'm going to let you go, because that's what she do, you know. Like, I don't know if everybody got a mama. And getting off the phone with your mama is a thing, you know. Like, it never happens the way it's supposed to happen. She say, I'm going to let you go, and she talk for another 15 minutes, and then say, I'm going to let you go, and then go into another story. But this is about after the fifth time we went through that cycle. She was like, oh, Jared, you know, let me tell you this. The other day, I looked out my window, and a white woman was walking across my lawn. Not on the sidewalk across the street, but across my lawn. So obviously, people, this was news. This was a big deal that there was a white woman walking across her lawn. And my mother lives in PG County, Maryland, Prince George's County, Maryland, which at least while I was growing up was one of the richest predominantly black counties in any state in the United States. And when I say richest, just meaning that I think it's the median income for black families was higher there than any other county in the United States. And because my mom's not rich, you know, middle class, I don't know, maybe upper middle class if you expand in that definition. But You'll see how that plays into the story in a minute. But anyway, so, yeah, she's telling me about this white woman that walked across her lawn. And again, like in PG County, like, normally that would, you know, it would have been weird under normal circumstances. It'd been weird. Maybe it would have caught you off guard, been a little bit startling, you know. I think it's been a joke, like, in the DMV for years now, before I left, like, you just seeing more white people in places that you never used to see white people before. But even with all of that, like, this one stood out a little more. So she said, she called the lady, our neighbor across the street, which is an even older black lady. But she the one that knows everything. It's always one that knows everything that goes on the street, if not the entire neighborhood. And they, like, you know, they don't have a neighborhood watch. I don't know if black people do that, but they don't have a neighborhood watch because there's one lady that's watching out for everybody. And you just gotta, you keep her informed and she keeps you informed. She know everything. She makes sure everybody else know everything. But she decided to call her. And with their two, you know, they put their heads together and thought about it with everything. They pretty much came to the conclusion that the next one they see, they're going to call the police. And that's the end of that story. Like, it's no real, you know, punchline to that story. I don't know. One funny thing is Miss Tony, the lady, the other older lady that my mother called, she actually might be rich. And I only say that because growing up, she had a heated driveway and that shit blew my mind. Like, when it snowed, like, didn't even stick. Nope. Ain't nobody got a shovel that. Miss Tony, good. Heated driveway. I ain't know they made those, but she had it. Anyway. But yeah, so these two, you know, 72 plus year old black women, you know, came to the conclusion that the next white person they see in their neighborhood that they don't know, they're calling the police. And that, it was funny to me because it sounds exactly like what white people probably say about us. And I, you know, I had an incident growing up where my mom was a teacher and she was teaching in some school that, you know, it may have been in Virginia. I think it was in Virginia, but whatever. I had to catch like the subway out to the school to meet her after work. There was some after school program she was doing. And I had never been out into this area. So I got off the train and I guess I went the wrong way and I'm walking and I end up in a residential area. And eventually, like, I'm walking behind this, looked like maybe a teenage white girl. And she notices me. And I guess she gets to her house and she goes in and then I could see like a woman come to the window and look out the window, like peek through the blinds. And maybe like five minutes later, cop car pulls up, you know, asks me what I'm doing. And I'm like in the eighth grade. And I'm just like this chubby little, chubby faced little eighth grade dude in a uniform and a sweater and everything. They, you know, asked me what I was doing around there or whatever. And they gave me a ride to my, you know, story ended well, but I can imagine like that's the same conversation that those people might have been having. And this is where we are right now. This is where we are, you know. My mother's fear, like I said, in normal circumstances, you know, seeing a white person walk across your lawn in that area might have been like weird, you know. You'd been like, what's that about? You know, the reason that they reached the conclusion that they was gonna call the police is everything that's going on, you know, their proximity to DC and it, you know, all the people that you saw on TV, you know, storming the Capitol, there were Confederate flags out there. There was, you know, neo-Nazi t-shirts, you know, the 6 million was not enough stuff. Like there was the kind of rhetoric and there was the kind of bullshit, you know, involved in that that scares black folks. And so now for them to see a random white person in the neighborhood is a scary proposition. So that, you know, it's not like it's a white person and I don't expect to see him. I don't want them over here. So I'm calling the police. It's like, I don't know what this is leading to. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, hey, white folks, y'all need to have a meeting. Y'all need to get together. Cause y'all about to be the new black people. You know, white is about to be the new black with all this stuff. And you got your craziest, you know, in front of the camera doing the craziest shit, you know, maybe y'all'll see how unfair it feels, you know, when people use the worst of a group to judge the whole group. Unfortunately, we don't get there, but having that conversation with my mom, like, it's weird, we may be there. Like, that's, you know, it felt justified when she was telling me the story, but I also saw the irony in it. Like, I also saw a little bit of humor in it, because I'm pretty sure these are the same conversations that some folks may have had about us. And that's how crazy y'all look right now. Pull it back. Pull it back. We always knew you crazy. We didn't know you had this much. I don't know. Like, you just didn't give a fuck this much. Like, all of your people who don't give a fuck are now active. And that's... It's not good. Y'all need to chill. Y'all need to bring it back. But, yeah, just a warning. Stay off my mama lawn. It's not a good look. Bad things are going to happen. With that said, I'm going to let y'all go like my mama. And then I'm going to talk for 5 more minutes. I need everybody to hit up my man Zaya Fitness if you're looking for help with all your fitness and nutrition goals. You can find him on Instagram at Z-A-Y-A-H Fitness. Also, please check out ttcharities.org if you're looking for ways to be impactful in these interesting times. And these are definitely interesting times. Donate what you can, time, money, clothes, books, whatever it is. They always... need some help. There's always a drive or something going to try to, you know, to help your brother out. So ttcharities.org. Check them out and help in any way you can. If you enjoyed this show, if you enjoyed what you heard, if you love the melodic tones of my voice, please subscribe, rate, and review. And if you didn't, review it anyway. Leave me some feedback. Let me know what I can improve upon. I'd appreciate it. Also, check out my new podcast, Define Functional. That show... I have guests, and we dig a little deeper into the labels and the meanings associated with things in this world. You know, we talk about subjects like this, and I have, you know, more points of view, so we get to go a little deeper. I actually had this conversation. I had my mom on speakerphone. I walked over there where Chad is. Chad is one of my roommates who's been a guest on Define Functional. And, he kind of got to listen in on a piece of that conversation. Because I told my mom, like, you know, after I get off the phone with you, I'm about to have a hilarious conversation with my roommate. Because we're gonna break this down. But yeah, Define Functional is the new podcast. Use coupon code Hoodie Season, HOODIESZN, and you'll get 20% off for all merch on both What Is TWS and DefineFunctional.com. And then we gonna head out, man. I'm gonna give y'all 7 minutes of your time back. I normally do a half hour, but we probably gonna cut this off at like 24. I don't know why I picked this last song either. It just felt right, jumped out to me. So I'm messing up my own ending. I'm off today. I don't know what it is, but yeah. Until we speak again, be safe, be light, and here's Miss Lauryn Hill.
I look at my environment and wonder where the fire went. What happened to everything we used to be? I hear so many cry for help, searching outside of themselves. Now I know that his strength is within.